This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy! August the 20th, be with you on a Thursday night. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Always catch the show, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. I'll get to the particulars of the program in just a moment. We do have some drama right now in the first preseason game of the night. The Texans lead the Raiders 20-16, 44 seconds to go. Why does it matter? Well, the Raiders closed minus two, but more importantly, the total closed at 40. We are currently at 36. A touchdown here and the PAT would put it at 23-20. The Raiders winning if they can score a touchdown the final 38 seconds and would put us over the total. And right now, Las Vegas, with 38 seconds remaining, is facing a 3rd-and-1 scenario on the road at Houston. This has been certainly interesting. If you've been paying attention to this game, a few things jump out. Fernando Mendoza playing a lot of action. Rocky start, found his sea legs, and now Aiden O'Connell in the game trying to make a miracle happen. He goes deep over the middle. It's down to the 1 yard line. What a dime by Aiden O'Connell. That was a beautiful pass to the middle of the field. The Raiders do not have any timeouts, but they are right on the precipice of the goal line, and they will likely spike it here with 19 seconds to go. Nope, they try the tush push, and he gets in the end zone. That's going to be a Raiders touchdown. Let's go. We're on the Raiders money line, minus 120, and they signal touchdown. It is indeed a touchdown. Wow. Aiden O'Connell with a little tush push action. Didn't know he had that in his wheelhouse. And the Raiders just took the lead. I thought this bet was dead. And by the way, when the Raiders scored a touchdown earlier in the game, they missed the PAT. So that was dicey for your boy as well when I saw that happen. But Aiden O'Connell, facing a little bit of pressure to the right side. It was a little bit wide, though. Stepped up to avoid it and threw it right over the middle. I didn't even see who caught it. Who is 82? We're about to find out together. That is Brandon Johnson. Everyone knows Brandon Johnson. And that was a 33-yard catch from the receiver out of UCF. He is 28 years old. I thought he was going to be a rookie when I looked him up. That indeed is not the case. It's his fifth season in the NFL. 2022 and 23 with Denver. 2024 with Pittsburgh. And MIA apparently a season ago. As they're showing Clint Kubiak celebrating the touchdown with his hands in the air like he doesn't care. Oh, baby. PAT is missed again. Good God. Wow. If you laid two with the Raiders, you're going to push. They missed two PATs. This should be a 24-20 game. And they just missed their second PAT of the game. You should have easily covered the minus two. And this is why I went money line. This is why I went minus $1.20. I didn't want it to come down to something like this. And in a rare instance, I'm proven correct here. But who missed that? That is ridiculous. Oh, the kid from Hawaii via Japan. Kansei Matsuzawa, who was at Hawaii last year. 1 for 3 on PATs. Oh, my God. We do go over the 40 total, but the Raiders closing at minus two. Oh, you're pushing and you should have covered. It's not really a bad beat because you pushed. You didn't lose, but you deserved better. I'll tell you that much. You definitely deserved better. As Aiden O'Connell puts the Raiders up 22-20 with 14 seconds to go. While we were on that, an update in the other game, the late night action here in the NFL preseason. Niners up on the Chargers 3-0, but that is not going to be for long because Los Angeles is threatening in the red zone. And while we were talking about the other game, Trey Lance ripped off a big, juicy run. I don't know why it was juicy. That's just the word I came up with in the moment. He had a 37-yard rush right up the gut, and now that has the Chargers with an opportunity at the goal line to take the lead. Well, I guess not the goal line. They're at the three. At the three, and Trey Lance is operating in the shotgun empty formation, which is a little bit odd to me. That's not very Jim Harbaugh on third and goal, and they throw a fade, which is the least desirable potential play you can have in the red zone for me, especially with a quarterback who doesn't have great accuracy or touch in Trey Lance. And of course, it's swatted away by the secondary for the Niners. That brings up a fourth and goal, but here's what I say. And I took the Chargers here. I have a little bit of money on them. I believe catching 1.5 was the number I got last night. But if I'm the Chargers and I'm practicing real game situations for these guys to be ready, I don't kick the field goal at the goal line. I'm going to go for it. And they're kicking the field. Like, the game doesn't matter. It doesn't count. Why wouldn't you just try to work on your goal line situations because it just failed a play ago? I don't really understand that. Why am I so angry about preseason football? I don't know what's happening. I shouldn't be like this disgusted by it. But if these games don't really matter to your record, if the objective here is to work the kinks out, why wouldn't you go for a second shot at the end zone? So Trey Lance, in case Justin Herbert goes down and you need a big touchdown this year, he'll be ready for that opportunity. Final score in Houston. Raiders with the comeback win, 22-20. Can someone find me? Let me see. I should have this on the prediction markets. But what were the Raiders when they were trailing in this game? Because they were down 17-0 after the first quarter of action. And I have to imagine you could have gotten a huge number in game on the Raiders. I'm happy my money line got there at -120. But yeah, that's pretty crazy. It was at one point 17-0, 17-3, 20-3. And then Raiders just started chipping away in the second half. You had a 12-play, 93-yard touchdown drive. Agunbolu, the running back, pounded it in from 19 yards out. And then Aiden O'Connell with the one-yard tush push as your second touchdown of the game there. And that's how we end up 22-20. We go over the total, a push on the -2. But there were opportunities to bet a bunch of different numbers any which way in that game as the numbers moved around the last few days here. With the news coming out of Houston where Jaden Higgins was lost for the season yesterday, and D'Amico Ryan said he wasn't going to play his starters. And then today we find out, well, he decided to play C.J. Stroud and a few other people. And it's just like you're following the information. You're trying to read the tea leaves here. But the reality is these guys are human beings, and they can do whatever they want whenever they want. And you can have the best information and still end up on the wrong side at sometimes with the Houston Texans in this spot. Stroud went 4 for 6, 27 yards. The story's more on the other side for me. One is Fernando Mendoza QB2 for the Raiders? Has Aiden O'Connell, who went 15-24 for 166 yards, is he potentially going to be the number two when week one begins? And then Mendoza, 8 of 15, 86 yards passing for him. One interception, and the interception was just like classic college Mendoza, thinking he had way more time. If you go back and watch the replay, his feet are just pitter-pattering, moving around so much. I think he knows in his head, like, I need to do something with the ball. And the more he waited, he gave the linebacker more time to come up and just snipe the pass. And that's what led to an interception. And that was by Wade Woodaz. I guess he's actually a safety. You know, he's a linebacker. I was right. Linebacker. He's wearing number 30, though. If you're wearing number 30 as a linebacker in camp, odds are, like, I'm not supposed to know who you are. I feel like that's not a good linebacker number. But I guess we kind of changed that because Woody Marks is rocking number 4 now. And I think he was 20-something a season ago. So that's the final score in that game. We have the other late-night action tied up at 3s between the Niners and the Chargers. Chargers closed -1.5. Total 38 and a hook for this contest. As right now in the betting market, we have got the Chargers -1.5, that's even money. And 28.5 is your in-game total, 7:03 to go in the first half. As far as that contest is concerned, we'll take you through it all night long. It's not just the preseason for these boys on the field. It's the preseason for this boy right here at the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. We're getting into a groove. We're finding our rhythm. But I got to tell you, didn't know what it was going to feel like when we walked in here. But it is a lot like riding a bike. All of a sudden, football's on the screen. The odds are flashing and moving. And you just start going muscle memory and reacting. Oh, I can smell the pigskin in the air. Football is back, and it's a beautiful thing, baby. We also have a fun show lined up for you tonight. Bottom of this hour, a Super Bowl champion makes his first appearance on the program. Rob Havenstein, former Rams offensive lineman. Believe in Rams. Podcast now, doing some preseason work with the team. We'll figure out this Super Bowl favorite Los Angeles Rams squad. What could possibly derail them from representing the NFC and hoisting the Lombardi in their own building at the end of the season, because there's not a lot of cracks in the armor for them. We'll also chat with Chad Brown, former All-Pro linebacker, Compass Media Network analyst, get his thoughts on his former team, the Steelers, who I think it may be a little bit too trendy to just dismiss this year with Mike McCarthy. And I'm not a McCarthy guy, I'm not a Rodgers guy, and I'm definitely not a Steelers fan, but when it feels too simple and obvious, you guys know at this point, you're sophisticated with the betting. If it's obvious, you know it's coming back the other way. Alex Selesnik, Prop Stars, will be on the program. 12:30 a.m. Eastern time, his favorite props for the season, best bets as well. And then Arthur DeCesar, longtime Las Vegas odds maker, will be with us at 1 a.m. Eastern. And Colby Dant, some college football preview talk. We are a week away from week zero. FCS kickoff is on Thursday next week. Colby with all of his best bets, futures, and more coming your way at 1:30 a.m. Eastern time. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I've been here all day long. In case you missed it, we had a fantastic Pro Football Futures draft on the network. I am exhausted. I was a babysitter. I was a ringleader. I felt like a prison warden earlier today trying to wrangle in 13 of these psychos on the network. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, but my brain's fried, people, and we got 2 hours and 45 minutes to go. If you want some expertise, you want to see the recap of that draft and everything we do right now, including our college football betting guide, our NFL betting guide, team previews of every team that matters, and all we do at the website, best bets, betting splits, 24/7 video. Start today and become a VSiN Pro for just $9.99, or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. When we return on Cashing Out, we will hit the top stories in the National Football League, including an MVP candidate talking the talk. Will he walk the walk?
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bopping along here on a Thursday night, Dustin Sweetelson coming to you as always from the Circus Sportsbook downtown Las Vegas. Fun show lined up tonight as we sweat out this Niners-Chargers contest. 10-3 the score, 5:09 to go in the first half. 2nd-and-9 situation coming up for Los Angeles. Trey Lance is in at quarterback. As far as the first half number is concerned, we close with the Chargers as the favorite, -0.5. They're down by 7. Your total's 20.5. So if you're an under-better, looking at a first half under here, you want a long sustained drive from the Chargers, and you do not want an opportunity for the Niners to respond back if Los Angeles can somehow score a touchdown here. But if they somehow trade shots quickly, your under is completely dead. If you're an over better, you'd like the opposite of everything I just said. But my thought is, in the preseason, most of you are looking at unders. Most of you are probably balancing starters versus bench guys, how you're looking at some of these markets in terms of the first half and the full game. But right now, the Niners, who were the dog in the first half, are currently leading by a touchdown, as Trey Lance does have the Chargers right around midfield at his own 43-yard line. So I'll keep you updated on that game as it transpires. Big picture, Niners laying 3.5. 33.5 is the total. I still like the Chargers plus the 3.5, FYI. I may be stubborn, but you had Mac Jones, you had Brock Purdy in this game. At some point, it feels like you're going to get a lot of Adrian Martinez. That is the vibe I'm getting in the second half. So at this point, my consideration, it's up to 4.5. I might just hope that the Niners can get the ball back and score here, but I'll see what this becomes. Anything north of a field goal, I'll jump back in on the Chargers. I do really like them in the second half. Between Trey Lance and DJ Uiagalelei, I think it's kind of a solid preseason quarterback room. We're not trying to win real games here, people. We're trying to win fake games. But more on that to come as the game moves along. With that, I want to remind everyone, the Pro Football Futures draft we did earlier today is available on YouTube. I will do my own version. I was not invited to partake in the contest this year. I was not invited last year. Instead, I was forced to be tortured. I mean, told I had the opportunity to host everyone in it. And I'm going to do my own version. Dustin Sloppy Seconds. Whatever they left on the table, I'm picking from that, and I'm going to go toe-to-toe with them and see if I can out-earn them with whatever they didn't want to pick earlier in the draft. That's later on in the program. But right now, we have to tackle the top stories in the National Football League, and we do that on the 3-Point Stance.
The top stories in football.
What do you want, Simone? What do you want, Simone? What do you want, Simone?
Every single day.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
This is 3-Point Stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
We begin with more preseason action, this impacting a game on Friday. Geno Smith is going to start for the New York Jets. That's news because he's been dealing with foot soreness all week. We did not know which direction the Jets were going to go with him. Maybe throw Cade Klubnik out there a little bit more, do a little bit more with Brady Cook out of Missouri. But it does appear that it's going to be Geno Smith. And as I'm talking, the San Francisco 49ers just ran a punt back to the house. Okay, back to 3-Point Stance in just a moment. But what that's going to do, remember, I said the first half total was 20.5. San Francisco was plus a half a point, so they're going to cover that. But there's 3:01 left in the half, and a field goal would put us over that. Do the Chargers work on, you know, these two-minute drills trying to get back into field goal range and punch one through? And by the way, the punter smartly had a chance to tackle the returner that was cowing the receiver, and he opted not to because he would likely get injured. Although, is there a flag on the play? Is that flag after the play? I believe that's a flag after the play on sportsmanlike conduct. Yes, on sportsmanlike conduct. They're going to move this back. But actually, that impacts this PAT. If we're probably going to have to stretch out 3-Point Stance. We got live football action, baby. But if they miss this PAT, that could impact the total because, right, 16 plus 3. No, either way, if a field goal happens, never mind. If a field goal happens either way, for the Chargers in response to this, it would go over the 20.5. The PAT is up from long range, and it's good. It's 17-3. So total was 20 and a hook. We are looking at a situation now where the Chargers could potentially really upset this. Okay, we may delay the 3-Point Stance a little bit here, but Geno Smith, I just wanted to mention, he is starting on Friday for the Jets. And this is a number that opened at Pittsburgh -3. It's now the Jets -1.5. I don't agree. I don't agree. Circa's got a 2 out there. I'll take the +2 with Pittsburgh. I think people are really underestimating Drew Aller and Will Howard, two experienced guys at college, a quarterback for Pittsburgh. I think they're absolutely capable of beating the Jets here in a preseason contest. The Jets are in a pressure situation this season. Aaron Glenn's job's on the line. He doesn't have to make the playoffs, but he has to be better. He has to look like he's competent as a head coach. He also can't afford to lose players in the preseason. He won't be judged if they lose a preseason game. He will be judged, though, if he loses regular season games. And in order to avoid that, this team needs to be at 100%. I like Pittsburgh here just because you got two young quarterbacks trying to prove themselves to be the next in command under Aaron Rodgers with a historic organization like the Steelers. Now let's stay in the North with Pittsburgh, and we will go to the number 2 shot on the betting board with the Cincinnati Bengals, just under 2-1 to win the AFC North. Joe Burrow in the squad, I am very high on this year. I like Burrow MVP. I like Zach Taylor Coach of the Year. I like Ja'Marr Chase Offensive Player of the Year around 10-1. I'm going to be all in on Cincinnati, and I can't wait to get my heart broken. Although Joe Burrow is saying he thinks he's going to come through this time.
I'm trying to put it out. I'm trying to put it out into the world. I'm trying to manifest it. I'm trying to show our guys the urgency that I have and that I want us to have as an organization to go and make it happen. You can keep pushing it down the road, or you can talk about it now and say this is the year. And you know, I'm tired of saying next year, next year, next year. This is it. Your life is too short to keep pushing things down the road. And I'm trying to instill some urgency and some intensity in everybody to go and be great every day and try to go make it happen.
Look, I love hearing that. I love that he's taking ownership. We saw it going back to last year with his disappointment in some of the press conferences at the end of the season. The problem is Joe Burrow is what this entire thing hinges on. He only played 8 games last year. He only played 10 games in 23. When he's been available, he's been an MVP caliber quarterback. 2024, they went 9-8. He threw for 4,900 yards, 43 touchdowns to 9 picks. In 2022, they went 12-4, 35-12 touchdown to interception ratio. And in 21, he completed almost 71% of his passes, 4,600 yards, 34 touchdowns, 14 pickles. If Joe Burrow's healthy, they have a chance. The defense is better, which gives them a better chance here. They're the only team that returns their coach in their division. That feels like a golden opportunity for them to take the baton and run. But Joe Burrow, buddy, I love you. I believe in you. If we were drafting every quarterback, you might be the guy I take number one overall. But that's only if I can turn injuries off. Because your availability has been an issue. You need to make smart decisions. You make be calculated with how you handle your body, not put it in harm's way, because you are the key to this entire thing coming through. 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. There are worse bets you can make at that number. Finally, last point of the three-point stance, we will go to the Pivot Podcast, where Liam Cohen joined the fellas, and I thought he said some really profound things about being a player's coach.
Demanding, not demeaning. Like, what are the things we're going to really pick on? Like, do I care as much what they're wearing on the plane to the game or what matters on the grass?
Yep.
Like, the standards of how we really want to operate and what are those pillars? Well, does it affect the grass or not? Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't affect the grass, like, I'm cool on it a little bit. You know, like, I don't need to control all that or feel like I have to have power over what they do and dress and say. And it's like, man, does it affect the grass or not? And so that's where I feel like maybe that comes into play, yeah, in terms of, man, there is a high standard of how we want to compete and operate on the grass. But I also want you guys to know that, like, I'm trying to be in this with you guys as much as possible.
I just love that. I love the mindset. I love the approach. He's also being genuine and authentic. Liam Cohen is odd, but he's comfortable in his own skin. And I think because he's so buttoned up as a coach, he understands what matters and doesn't. And focusing on things that don't impact winning, that don't impact the team and the game, he doesn't have the bandwidth in his brain to deal with that. His whole objective is to win, to make this team competitive. It feels like coming off an insane season a year ago where this team won, what, 14 games? They're being completely disregarded as if just because they're Jacksonville and they're a small market, they're going to fall all the way back to middle of the road or even worse. I don't know. James Gladstone is a buttoned up guy. Liam Cohen is a cerebral dude as an offensive mind. He just got the most out of Trevor Lawrence. Why don't we believe that this is just the beginning of what Lawrence can be instead of thinking this is as good as it gets? On top of that, the defense is really elite for this team. They kept their DC. I don't think Jacksonville should be slept on. This is a team that may even be capable of being the one seed in the AFC, or even, dare I say, representing the conference when the Super Bowl comes around. Speaking of the Super Bowl, our next guest won one. How does his team do that again this year as the favorite? We'll break down the Rams with Rob Havenstein next on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We have got the first half wrapping up in the second preseason game of the night, the Niners with a 17-3 lead on the Chargers. 51 seconds to go in the second quarter. I'll keep you posted on what transpires at the end of the first half in just a moment, but I'm really excited for our next conversation because it's very rare you get to talk to a Super Bowl champion, but more importantly, a guy who played with this core that is still there in Los Angeles. And oh, by the way, they are very much the betting favorite to do it once again. Rob Havenstein is our guest. Believe in Rams is the podcast. He's also calling the preseason games for the network at Rob Havenstein 78. You can find him on X. Rob, thanks for doing this, man. When I say to you, someone who's not really familiar with our betting world, but the Rams are a big favorite to win the Super Bowl, I imagine that doesn't come as a shock to you.
No. No, not at all. They seem to be assembling the Avengers over there on that side of the field. So it's not surprising at all.
Well, let's go behind the curtain. Before we get to McVay and Stafford and your familiarity with them, there is the rumor that your former teammate Aaron Donald could potentially be coming out of retirement to play alongside Myles Garrett. Not sure you ever had to go toe-to-toe with him all that much in practice with the ones, but Can you explain what he could potentially bring to the table at this point in his life at 35 years old if he comes out of retirement to join this defense?
Yeah, well, number one is he left the game still at the top, you know? So it's not like there was a diminished version of Aaron Donald. And so with this 2 years off and the potential, you know, the potentiality of him coming back, he's still coming back as Aaron Donald. And although luckily he played three tech and I didn't have to block him all that much, there's a lot of backside combinations, front side of gap plays and stuff like that, where you hit him and he just doesn't move. Because number one, he's short, which stinks for a taller offensive lineman. And number two, he's stronger than both you combined, which really sucks trying to be on a double team, trying to move him down the field. But, you know, Aaron's got two tryouts listed on the NFL, you know, whatever that is. And then so it kind of seems like he's pretty darn serious about this, man. So when he comes back, or if he comes back, you know, it's all trending in kind of the right direction. But him and Myles Garrett are just going to – I mean, it's going to be nightmares for offensive linemen, for offenses in general. I mean, who do you game plan? Who do you slide to? Who do you – you can't chip everyone, you know. I mean, you're going to send one-man routes the whole time? Like, it's unbelievable.
How about the Myles Garrett addition as well? Because I believe he did play the Rams a few times while you were a part of the team. Not sure if you had to go head-to-head with him, but – what makes him so dominant? Because he is the preeminent pass rusher of his generation.
Yeah, I mean, he's built out of the lab. Just look at him. Like, he's not human. You know, 6'5 with that bend. And his biggest thing is, you know, he takes two steps and he's at the quarterback depth. And he's got, incredible athletic ability to where he times the count. Even if he doesn't time it, you know, he runs so dang fast where he's just by you. If you're not like almost perfect and you have help coming from the outside and probably the inside, he's already past you. I mean, it's the way he chews up space and he's able to bend at that height and that weight. It shouldn't be humanly possible. And yet you see it Sunday after Sunday. So, yeah, like I said, guy's made just absolutely from a lab. He looks like a creative player from Madden. It's crazy.
You know what's crazy is, like, for us to think that way about a football player is one thing. For you, who's around these elite athletes all the time, for you to watch him and still be in awe, I think that speaks to what a special talent he is. Rob Havenstein is our guest. Believe in Rams is the podcast. Check him out, breaking down the team every week. Also on the broadcast in the preseason. Take us behind the curtain of Sean McVay. Because we all know he's a great play caller. He seems to be a great communicator, teacher, leader. What's the secret sauce for his success as a head coach?
Yeah, number one, he's genuine. I mean, what you see is what you get with Sean. Like, there's no real BS to him. And so he is all those things you just mentioned. He's a savant when it comes to the game of football, especially offensive football. And now that he's a head coach and he can kind of step back and truly learn defensive ball, because now he's a head coach and he can kind of float around wherever he wants. I mean, it just kind of adds to his superpower. But the secret sauce to him is who he is as a person and how he empowers a team. I mean, because he truly does care about every single person on that roster, the whole 53, his whole staff, the whole 12, 13 on the practice squad. Like, he genuinely cares. And so I think guys feel that and they want to play harder for him. And then he's always like, whenever there's a mistake or a bad game or a loss that happens, blame goes to him first. And, you know, I should have done it a better job of putting my guys in a better position on this play. And then he's got the photographic memory to go ahead and, you know, spit that play back out with the exact time and what hash was on or something like that. But, you know, him being truly genuine is the biggest thing that, you know, guys really gravitate towards.
I love that. Rob Havenstein is our guest, Super Bowl champion with the Rams, and Sean McVay. And the piece that puts you guys over the top is Matthew Stafford, and he's coming off an MVP year, man. I don't know if I've seen anyone not named Brady or Manning operate at the level that Stafford was last year. What's it look like for you, who knows how this offense goes, the addition of Stafford and playing with him? What did you think of what he did last year and how good this offense could be this year?
Yeah, obviously last year was special, and it's honestly great to see him kind of getting his flowers. You know, there's been a lot of Matthew Stafford hate over the years, and, you know, it's definitely unwarranted. The guy's an absolute competitor, crazy arm talent, and he's a better guy, you know, number one. And so, he, you know, he's kind of everything you want to be, you know, look up to as an off, or as an NFL player, and then, you know, become an NFL player. You want to be just like a Matthew Stafford, just kind of do things the right way. But, you know, yeah, he's a stud. He really is. I mean, just everything about that guy is just, it's just top notch. And then especially as, you know, offensive linemen in our room, it was like, listen, like we need to do our jobs really, really well, because this guy is going to win us a lot of games. And if we don't, and we don't have him, then we're not going to win as much games. So we need to be on our P's and Q's, making sure this guy can go back there and deal. But same thing, even if you have a bad play or something like that, you know, he'd come over and be like, hey, I got to get that ball out first. And be like, no, you don't. I got beat pretty quick. But you know, that's just the type of guy he is.
Yeah, he seems to be a guy that every player loves playing with as well. I mentioned at the start, they're the Super Bowl favorites. The win total is 11.5. You referred to the Avengers. I don't know where the weakness is, Rob. So how does this season go for them? Because if you were going to find one spot that they're susceptible, what would be even a concern this year for the Rams?
Man, a concern for every team that's got promise or potential, you know, the, you know, potential in the NFL is just unrealized gains, but it's staying healthy. You know, you got all these guys and, you know, they all look great on paper, but it's like an NFL season can be just derailed by injuries. And so it's a little bit of luck in that. It's, you know, training, it's, you know, armoring your body, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, sometimes it's just pure luck. But if they stay healthy, you know, they're going to be favorites of pretty much every game they play in. And then it just comes down to which team can do it better, you know, as a team. You know, the Rams have all these wonderful individuals on there where if you look at it on paper, it's great. But it's like, all right, you know, how does that come together in a team game, especially like football? So they stay healthy. I mean, I could see them, you know, outlasting that 11 wins here within the first 12 weeks. I mean, even with a tough schedule.
I totally agree. Last one here, the division's still tough. Seattle's the Super Bowl champs. The 49ers are always in the mix, and they've been an issue at time for the Rams. Who scares you more, Seattle or San Francisco, head-to-head in division?
Oh, man, I don't think scared is the right word, because they both games kind of go a little bit differently. You know, it was our bugaboo for the longest time. Besides the NFC Championship game against San Fran, about, you know, we just couldn't get it done versus those guys. I mean, it was like 4 or 5 years, 6 years. It was a long time. And it was just like, hey, they're just going to keep running the ball, you know, time of possession, things like that. And saying, so just kind of things didn't really work out there. And then, you know, you got Seattle, you know, a lot of history there. They got the same fan up in the corner, you know, with the signs. I'm sure everyone who's seen a Seattle game has seen this guy. And so it's just kind of, you know, how they are, but their defense is still good. You know, they're paying the right guys and everything like that. And so, you know, I think they're both going to be great games. You know, number one, I'm excited for week one on, you know, down in Australia. So that'll be a fun one to see.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Rob, I really appreciate you doing this, man. Awesome chat with you. Would love to chat, check in during the season as well, because I think the Rams are going to be very relevant all season long. Check out Rob on Believe in Rams is the podcast, and on the preseason broadcast of the team at Rob Havenstein on 78 on X. Thanks for the time tonight, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
That was awesome stuff. Awesome insight into McVay, into Stafford, the team, Aaron Donald, what makes it go. And the fact that he's like, yeah, Myles Garrett doesn't make sense as a human. I mean, that's what we say, but he sees guys like that all the time. So it lets you know. Rainbow Authentics and VSiN are taking the bets to the beach. Tim Murray, Matt Humans, they're heading to Hawaii for a special edition of VSiN Primetime, live from the islands, Wednesday, August 26th, plus a beach edition of the College Football Betting Podcast. Don't miss VSiN in Paradise, live from Hawaii, Wednesday, August 26th, 7 p.m. Eastern on VSiN.
Back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's cashing out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Your boy is all hopped up on caffeine right now as I've been here at the casino since about 12:15 my time, 3:15 your time. It's now 8:45 my time, 11:45 on the East Coast, depending on where you live. I apologize to the Central and the often forgotten Mountain Time Zone for not including you guys in the math there, but I got to tell you, as someone who texts people to come on the show from across the country, you two in the middle, you're the bane of my existence. I'm always doing math backwards, forward. Oh, it's 2 hours from you. It's 1 hour from me. It's 3 hours minus one is two on the Central. I never thought in my life time zones would disrupt my occupation as much as they do, but that is the lot that I live. Is that the phrase? I don't even know. See, maybe the caffeine's fading. Halftime in Los Angeles, the Niners with a 20-3 lead on the Chargers. We were touching on it before we talked with Rob Havenstein, former offensive lineman for the Rams. First half number was San Francisco plus a half. That obviously gets there. First half total was 20.5. 20-3 is the score. The Niners, with no time left, kicked a field goal. 45 yards from Eddie Pinheiro. 20-3 is the score. It goes over the 20.5. So that's where we stand as far as that game is concerned. Earlier today, Raiders came back to beat the Houston Texans 22-20. That game goes over the total, but two missed PATs. That's why the Raiders don't cover, laying two in the end. You could have gotten a bunch of different numbers along the way. There was ones, one and a halfs out there. I went money line last night at minus 120. So, unfortunately, if you laid the two, you got a raw deal because you had your kicker missing two PATs in that game. Major League Baseball still going on. I think of Robert Plant. Does anyone remember Laughter? Does anyone get that reference? I feel like that's our audience. The song remains the same. Led Zeppelin, you know. Anyway, baseball's still happening, and it still matters, people. Look, I had a very good day in baseball. I say that as someone who's very transparent about these things. I have not been having good days in baseball. So when I finally have one where I go 4-2, I'm going to do a little backslapping here on the program. But as far as baseball is concerned, earlier today we had one of the weirdest endings you're ever going to see, and I did benefit. I had the over 9 in Cardinals-Reds. It's 5-4. There's two outs. St. Louis hits a fly ball that's going to end the game to center. Dane Myers just like closes his glove too early. Ball bounces away. We wind up with St. Louis dropping a 6 spot in the ninth. Cincinnati scores a 4 spot in the ninth. Final score is 10-9. It was 5-4. We were pushing on the total. Instead, we go over by 10 runs. Absolutely absurd turn of events. Jordan Walker with his 26th home run of the year for the St. Louis Cardinals in that one. They cash minus 110. We go over the 9 in that contest. In Cleveland, it was the Guardians 5, the Giants 2. Gavin Williams was the story. We went over 7.5 Ks for the right-hander at plus $1.18. He had 11 in this game. 5 2/3, 2 earned innings for Gavin Williams. Man, I don't think he has enough room left this year to make up ground and really contend for AL Cy Young with the way that, you know, Schlittler and Dylan Cease have been. But he's probably your next best option betting-wise if something there was a calamity. He's 70-1. I guess Rasmussen's there at 30-1. But, God, Gavin Williams having a crazy year. He had a couple weird starts where he allowed a lot of runs, which really inflated his ERA. But on the whole, tremendous season coming off a strong second half from a year ago for Gavin Williams and the Guards. Atlanta, top Chicago. That's the White Sox, 2-0. They were minus 113 on the road. 8.5 was the total. We go under there. Really strong performance from Grant Holmes. This is what Atlanta needs. If guys like Holmes and Elder can just piece together runs of being really strong, and Holmes has shown that in the past. He goes 6 innings, shutout baseball, allows a hit, 3 strikeouts on the road on the south side of Chicago. Kansas City topped the A's 6-2 at home. They were minus 127 favorites. Randy Dobnak was on the hill. Bobby Witt crushed his 16th homer of the year. The A's are on a 4-game slid. And Jacob Wilson went on the IL earlier today. This season for the Athletics has been absolutely brutal. There was a little bit of promise. There was some hope. They felt like that maybe these young guys were going to carry them. That may have been the case, but the young guys haven't been on the field together in a while. A lot of injuries just ravaging that locker room as we await for them to move here to Las Vegas in a couple seasons. The Brewers topped the Seattle Mariners 7-4. Garrett Mitchell went 3-for-4 with a home run. George Kirby, this is why I have trust issues with Seattle, especially on the road. George Kirby, 3 1/3, 9 hits, 6 earned runs, and just 3 strikeouts. This is a future I had beginning of the season. I had 12-1 on Seattle to win the whole thing. I had a little bit on the American League pennant as well. I've had Seattle to win the World Series, I want to say 3 out of the last 4 years, if not all 4 of them. They will always let you down. They will always break your heart. That feels like it's a Backstreet Boys lyric, but it's not. It's just something I said here on Cashing Out. But the Seattle Mariners remain 3 games back of the American League wild card. And despite this pitching staff that everyone is always hyping up, I trust them less than the Baltimore Orioles, who are in front of them. I trust them less than the Detroit Tigers, who traded their best pitcher in Tarik Skubal. And I trust them less than Cleveland and Toronto, who are a game and half a game out, respectively. I do not trust Seattle, which is so disappointing because they are the most talented team of everyone I just mentioned. I don't know how Jerry DePoto's not culpable. I don't know how Dan Wilson doesn't get blame. I know everyone wants to just put it on Cal Raleigh. The rest of this team is supposed to be a lot better for the Mariners, and they've been just such an utter disappointment. They're 8 games under 500 as of right now. The last couple games on the slate, I actually have to get updated on right now. Just realized that, you know, it's been a busy day. Futures draft was on Mad Dog Sports Radio with Patrick Maher an hour before this program. So here's the update. The Rangers beat the Nats 2-0. Okay. Good performance from Jacob deGrom as he winds up going 6 innings, 10 strikeouts, shutout baseball. Alvarez was okay on the other side for Washington. 5 innings, 1 earned, and 5 strikeouts for him. But the key to this one, the offense for Texas is able to plate a pair of runs. Lopez with an RBI, Seager with an RBI. He went 2-for-4. Texas gets the win. They're still 2 games out, or 2 games under 500 are the Texas Rangers. And then this is a bet I lost. I went Astros first 5. The Angels won 18-3. That is quite a turn of events that I did not anticipate happening here. What we have here is just a failure to handicap. Pete Lambert, 9 earned runs in 3 2/3 innings. Grayson Rodriguez, 7 shutout innings of ball, 6 strikeouts for him. Zach Neto with his 21st home run of the season to lead the charge for the Angels in that spot. The Angels were plus $1.62, and we go well over the total of 8.5 with a final of 18-3 in that game. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're listening to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. One live preseason game. The second half is underway. Niners up on the Chargers, 20-3. Right now in the betting market, what are we looking at? Niners are laying 13 and a hook. 39.5 is your total. Chargers, let's just make a mental note. 7.5-1 on the money line. They're down 17. It's the preseason. And I don't think we're going to see anyone who matters for the Niners the rest of the way. So what we've had so far in the contest, Mac Jones, 6-for-13, 89 yards. Brock Purdy, 4-for-6, 29 yards. Adrian Martinez in now. I do not trust him. On the other side, Justin Herbert went 1-for-2 for 9 yards. Trey Lance, 10-for-16 for 73 through the air, 2-for-42 on the ground. And now it's DJ Uiagalelei in the game, who went 6-of-9 for a 120 and a touchdown last week at Houston to open up the preseason. We'll see if Uiagalelei has a little magic in that right arm of his. Not a guy I loved in college. What's it? Looked like Tarzan, played like Jane. That was kind of his MO, but looks the part. Maybe he figures it out here in the NFL in the preseason. He goes over the middle and he misses a receiver. But as far as the scoring actions is concerned, Sincere McCormick with a touchdown run for the San Francisco 49ers. We also had a punt return for a score for the Niners in this one. That's Jacob Cowing, the wide receiver. He went 83 yards to the Heezy. And those are the big two scores in this contest for San Francisco in this spot. But I'm looking at this number. 39.5, total close 38.5. You're not even getting much of a discount if you want to go under. So I'm going to leave it alone. I would consider the under. I'd also consider the Chargers at plus 13.5. But if that baby gets home, feels like it's probably going to be an ugly game to watch. You're going to be stressing right up until the very end. Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea. Match betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/VSIN. That's ungambled.com/VSIN. Use promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square. Still to come on the program, I'll give you my picks that were left over in the fantasy, in the football futures draft earlier today. But all pro, Chad Brown joins us on the other side of cashing out.